Hello and welcome to Volume 46, Number 26 of Grapevine, your weekly local news magazine. Brought to you on this hot week by the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association, this edition is published on Friday the 26th of June 2026. I'm Graham, your presenter, joined this week by Desney and Margaret C. And in the news, well, very little on the heatwave, as most of it will be out of date when you listen to this. The Empire becomes home for a flying circus. And Wheels Meet Again was a great success. All this plus Grapevine Extra with Margaret detailing Vision Norfolk's July schedule and Disney with the week's TV. Firstly, though, a birthday, and we send our very best wishes to Charles Eake for Tuesday the 30th. Have a really great day, Charles. Okay, it's time for the first part of the local news, so over to Desney and Margaret.
Hello, this is Desney and Margaret's with me, and we're really very hot, so we've got somebody who's put the air conditioning on for us, but you might hear it humming. But please, 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 we'd rather you heard it humming than you heard us fainting from the shock of the heat. I'm sure you've all been feeling the same way. Anyway, here we go with the news. Ormiston win Yarmouth Athletics competition. A local school has been crowned overall champions following a standout performance at an athletics competition. Ormiston Venture Academy triumphed at the Great Yarmouth Schools Athletics Championships, defeating five other schools to claim the top spot. The Academy, part of Ormiston Academies Trust, competed in the track and field events held at Wellesley Ground, with more than 100 students from years 7 to 10 taking part. Kira Flatt, PE teacher at Ormiston Venture Academy, said, "We are immensely proud of all the students involved. Becoming champions is a testament to the effort, dedication and determination shown by everyone throughout the competition. Students competed in running, jumping and throwing events, securing first place with a strong points total. Their performance highlighted the depth of talent across all year groups, earning praise from school leaders." Simon Gilbert Barnum, principal at Ormiston Venture Academy, said, "This is a tremendous achievement for our students and staff, and we're delighted to celebrate their success. The commitment and enthusiasm shown by every athlete was exceptional, and they should all be incredibly proud."
Hello, it's Margaret here again, otherwise known as the Beach Hut Babe. And believe you me, it's been wonderful down on the seafront because there's been wind blowing, unlike in here today with the air conditioning on. Never mind. So, if you're sitting comfortably, I'll begin. A man has been arrested following a street brawl in Great Yarmouth. Norfolk police were called to King Street at 9:15pm on Friday, June the 19th, following reports of an assault. A man in his 50s was injured and taken to the James Paget Hospital for treatment. He was discharged later on the same day. A man in his 40s was arrested at the scene on suspicion of grievous bodily harm and taken to Great Yarmouth Police Investigation Centre for questioning. He was subsequently released on bail until August the 17th. Video of the brawl showed two men squaring up to one another before the situation quickly escalated, with others drawn into the punch-up before a man collapsed to the ground, appearing to be unconscious. Data from the National Police Database shows 88 violent crimes were committed on or near King Street in the 6 months between October last year and March this year. Antisocial behaviour added a further 32 recorded incidents over the same period, with January and March 2026 seeing the highest monthly spikes.
Review into cycle lanes. A review into controversial cycle lanes, branded by many cyclists and non-cyclists as a waste of money, is now underway. Norfolk County Council has begun its review into the cycle lane schemes on Jellicoe Road in Great Yarmouth and Middleton Road in Galston. The schemes, which cost almost £1.5 million, were funded by the government's Active Travel Fund and are now being scrutinised after Great Yarmouth First's councillors tabled a motion last month. A spokeswoman for NCC said the requested review is currently underway, and once completed, the findings will be shared with elected members before anything is published more widely. The newly elected councillors wanted the council to agree that councillors should be presented with a report about the full costs of the schemes and data about usage, congestion, road safety and traffic impact. They also sought a review of the schemes, now they're up and running, to find out whether the authority could amend, redesign or remove elements of the scheme, should significant safety or operational concerns be identified. It comes after the £950,000 project to boost cycling infrastructure on Jellicoe Road in Great Yarmouth was completed in February following a 23-week project. The 500,000 9-week scheme to build cycle lanes and upgrade crossings along the almost 1 mile stretch of Middleton Road in Galston was completed in April. The projects caused anger among many people living on the roads who questioned whether the schemes were needed and were frustrated with the end result. Les West, 83, who lives on Middleton Road, spoke after the completion of the scheme and said it was a colossal waste of money and that the works had made a busy road into a dangerous one. Anthony Hollis, 64, and a bicycle user, added that he thought the final product was a lot of money for what it is and would have preferred the pavement to be made wider.
A 26-year-old formerly involved in hunting paedophiles was found with more than 400 extreme pornographic images. Connor Waller had a total of 409 of the illicit images, including a video of a woman being subjected to a violent oral rape. Police found the images across three devices after carrying out a raid at a property in Coniston Square, Great Yarmouth. Norwich Crown Court heard Waller, who had previously become involved in online paedophile hunter groups, had attracted the attention of police after uploading images. Timothy Pulford, prosecuting, said officers executed a warrant at the Yarmouth address after images were uploaded to a KIK account. Police attended just after 9 a.m. on May the 25th, and Waller was arrested at 9:19 a.m. and taken to Great Yarmouth Police Investigation Centre. The prosecutor said extreme pornographic images were found after police seized three devices, including a mobile phone and a computer tower. Mr. Fulford said among the images found by police on the devices included was a violent oral rape of a female. Also found were images of adults involving in sexual activity with animals. Waller of Wadham Road, Galston, appeared at court on Wednesday, June the 24th, after previously admitting possession of extreme pornographic images. John Morgan's mitigating said Waller, who was only 22 at the time of the offending, deserved credit for his plea. He said it was very significant there had been no further offences since these matters, which occurred after he had become involved in paedophile hunter groups. Judge Anthony Bate said Waller should receive substantial credit for his pleas and accepted he was a defendant with particular vulnerabilities. Waller was given an 18-month community order with up to 35 days rehabilitation activity requirement. He was also given an 18-month mental health requirement, fined £50 and ordered to pay £150 costs.
A lifelong dream is taking flight with a one-of-a-kind project in a historic local venue. Flight House will launch inside the Empire in Great Yarmouth in what is said to be the UK's only full-time indoor flying trapeze academy. The project aims to cement the town's status as the UK's capital of the circus arts scene, while transforming the landmark building into a hub for aerial excellence. For Matthew Herman, who has spent 15 years working in circuses worldwide, this project is the culmination of a lifelong dream. He said, "This really is a dream come true. To be able to bring a flying trapeze school to life has been an ambition of mine for so long. I have a passion for teaching and creating, and to be able to do this in such a stunning space is even more inspiring. We hope this will be a huge asset and boost for UK Circus, as it will not only attract professionals from all over the world, but also train and inspire our homegrown talent." Mr. Herman has previously worked with the Hippodrome Circus and Out There Arts, and saw the potential for the academy when he realised his professional-grade trapeze rig could fit inside the Empire Theatre. The project is also a long-held goal of the Jay family, who have a legacy in circus and entertainment and have run the Empire for 70 years. Jay said, "We've always wanted to be involved with something like this, and the timing just felt perfect. We will soon be celebrating 50 years involved in circus and over 100 years in entertainment in Great Yarmouth. So to create another first is something quite remarkable. The Empire will remain a community and entertainment venue, with the Academy running alongside pop-up events and cultural gatherings. Flight House will hold its first beginner classes from July the 6th to the 8th, with two-hour workshops covering the basics of flying trapeze for those aged 8 and above. It will be followed by more advanced workshops between July the 17th to the 19th. Bookings and more information are available at www.flighthousetrapeze.co.uk.
And this is a nice story. It's an R story. High school sweethearts at a Norfolk school have now committed to each other for life. Matt Dixon and Sally Smith returned to Acle Academy to get engaged outside the classroom where their love story began. They first met in year 7 and are now set to be a pair for life. A Facebook post from the school said, "We were delighted to welcome former students Matt and Sally back to Acle Academy for a very special occasion. They first met as Year 7 students at what was then known as Acle High School and have been together ever since. And we are thrilled to share that Sally said yes."
Yes, that is a nice story. A man is in hospital after emergency services rushed to an incident in the town. Fire crews, ambulance vehicles and police officers were all on the scene at Britannia Pier on Monday afternoon. A police spokeswoman said they were called to reports of a concern for safety at 1:21 p.m. Locals were advised to keep the area clear at the time. A spokeswoman for the force has since confirmed that a man was taken to hospital following the incident.
Pop Idol star Gareth Gates delivered a powerful message of confidence and resilience during a visit to a local primary school. The singer and actor, who found fame on Pop Idol, spoke to pupils at Philby Primary School on the importance of confidence, resilience and embracing differences. Drawing from his own experiences with bullying and living with a stammer, Mr. Gates encouraged pupils to see their challenges as sources of strength. Joe Snelling, head teacher at Philby Primary, said, "Gareth's personal story really resonates with our pupils. He shows that challenges, whether that's self-confidence or overcoming difficulties, do not define you. They can actually make you stronger." Pupils described the visit as inspiring. Emily, a Year 4 pupil, said, "He was very inspiring, teaching us to overcome our fears and be ourselves." Her classmate Tiffany said, "He encouraged us to be ourselves, and it doesn't matter if you're different." The children are looking forward to meeting Mr. Gates again on a whole school trip to a Great Yarmouth pantomime in December, which he is starring at the Britannia Pier.
A woman has been arrested after she was suspected of looking through a handbag that had fallen off a pram. The green bag is believed to have been lost on Saturday while a couple walked along Regent Road in Great Yarmouth. It was later picked up by a woman who was seen looking through it. A woman in her 30s was arrested on suspicion of theft and has since been released on bail. It is currently unclear if anything was taken from the bag. Anyone who believes the bag belongs to them should contact the force. The bag is currently being held at Great Yarmouth Police Station and can be collected by its owner once identified.
One of Norfolk's libraries is currently unstaffed and only accessible to certain library users because repairs need to be done following water damage. On June the 12th, the library service posted on Facebook that Blowfield Library would be operating solely in open libraries mode due to unforeseen circumstances. Officers at Norfolk County Council, which runs the library service, subsequently revealed that the issue was that leaky guttering had caused water damage in the staff-only areas of the North Street Library. Because that needs to be fixed, it means the library, which dates back to the 19th century and is a former parish reading room, is currently unstaffed. It is only accessible to library card users who have registered for the Open Libraries Initiative, which allows them to scan their cards to enter libraries. Open library access at Blowfield is available on Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m, Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m, and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The library service had initially said the library would be on open libraries mode until Sunday, June the 21st. But officials confirmed this week that the work had yet to be completed, so restrictions will need to continue. They also said that the library will need to shut completely next Tuesday, June the 30th. During the disruption, staff times have been extended at Brundle Library in Blowfield's neighbouring village. The usual activities, which take place at Blowfield Library, will be taking place at the same times, just at the Brundle Library, which is on the street. Meanwhile, the Norfolk Norwich Millennium Library remains closed for a major £1.3 million revamp.
Extreme heat could melt busy roads and cause delays for more than 80,000 people flocking to the Royal Norfolk Show. Police have said road closures could be put in place to ensure the safety of those travelling to the Norfolk Showground, where the huge agricultural event is taking place. On Wednesday and Thursday, that's yesterday to you listening on a Friday. It comes amid an Amber Met Office weather warning for extreme heat that is in place across the county until Thursday, although I believe that's now been extended, which has sparked fears that roads could melt. Planned roadworks are also expected to cause some disruption today. And the today mentioned here was June the 23rd, when, as far as I know, it's the 25th today. Is that right, Margaret?
It is, yes.
When hundreds of local businesses would have been dropping off items in preparation for the two-day farming event. Keir Highway Services, appointed by Norfolk County Council, are carrying out surfacing works and line painting between Dereham Road and Folgate Lane from 7 p.m. until midnight. They say drivers should allow extra time for arriving and leaving the Norfolk Showground, as Norwich Road will be closed to through traffic. Although Norfolk County Council say the roadworks will be carried out safely and swiftly, the scheme is weather dependent. This means the works may impact the more than 80,000 visitors expected at the event, who will be arriving the morning after if the project is not completed on time. A spokesman for the Royal Norfolk Agricultural Association, RNAA, the farming charity which organises the event, said, "We are aware of the roadworks in Easton and surrounding areas. We're working closely with all agencies involved to try to reduce the impact on traffic. we are advising all of our visitors to allow extra time for arriving and leaving the show.
A new boxing and fitness gym could be coming to Great Yarmouth under fresh plans. Plans have been submitted to turn the second floor of 25 and 26 Hall Quay into a boxing and fitness gym. The proposal, submitted by Terry Philpott of Breitling Homes Limited, could see the creation of an indoor training facility providing boxing instruction, fitness training and coaching. It would aim to serve people living in the area, young people and community groups. The applicant says the second floor of the building, which was originally a telecommunications exchange, has been vacant and underutilised. The ground and first floors of the building were previously occupied by the YMCA and used as hostel accommodation and offices. The proposal would not change the external appearance of the building. Access to the building would continue via the existing entrance off Hall Quay, and a lift is accessible to all floors. A decision on the planning application is expected by August the 3rd.
Plans have been unveiled for almost 100 new homes in Great Yarmouth. The proposal would see Beach Coach Station car park on Nelson Road North replaced with around 94 homes, including a mix of apartments and houses, along with new access roads, open space and landscaping. Great Yarmouth Borough Council has launched an early stage consultation on the scheme, which would be run by Broadland Housing Association. It represents the second phase of development on the site, following the construction of 18 affordable homes on the southeastern corner in 2023. The plans set out 69 one- and two-bedroom apartments in three-storey blocks with communal gardens, alongside 25 two-, three- and four-bedroomed houses with private gardens. Half of the homes would form an independent living scheme for people aged 55 and over. Access would be provided via one existing and one new road off Nelson Road North. The council is seeking initial views from people in the area before submitting a full planning application this summer. If approved, the homes would be allocated in line with the borough's housing policy, meaning applicants must qualify for assistance and meet local connection criteria, such as living in the borough for 3 years, having close family ties, or working locally. The council says any redevelopment would be accompanied by plans to ensure that alternative, convenient parking for coaches currently using the site. The car park occupies the former Yarmouth Beach Station, which opened in 1877 as a terminus of the Great Yarmouth and Stalham Light Railway, which connected north through Caister into the Midland and Great Northern Network. The station closed in 1959 and was demolished in 1986, replaced by coach facilities. Over the past 50 years, however, usage has declined, and the Borough Council has built two developments. They included Royal Britannia Crescent, a development of 19 homes completed in 2012, and the 18-home Jubilee Court, which opened in 2023.
It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to cool with my baby tonight. And pitch the woo with my baby tonight. I'd like to cool with my baby tonight. And pitch the woo with my baby tonight. But brother, you fight my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn high. According to the Kinsey Report, every average man you know much prefers his lovey-dovey to court when the temperature is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Pants for romance is not, 'cause it's too, too, too darn hot. It's too darn hot. It's too, too darn hot. My baby tonight, and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. I like to coo with my baby tonight, and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. But brother, you fight my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn high. According to the Kinsey Report, every average man you know much prefers his lovey-dovey to court when the temperature is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Gob for his squad, a Marine for his queen, a G.I. for his cutie pie is not, 'cause it's too, too, too darn hot.
Two of this week's news coming up, and a reminder that we have Vision Norfolk's July details and the week's TV in Grapevine Extra straight after.
A former army officer has been selected to stand for Restore Britain to become the next Norfolk Police and Crime Commissioner. The party, led by Great Yarmouth MP Rupert Lowe, has picked Mark Buckton as its candidate for next month's by-election, triggered by the sudden resignation of Sarah Taylor from the Police and Crime Commissioner role. Mr. Buckton served as an officer in the Royal Armoured Corps, which included a tour supporting the police in Northern Ireland. The father of two, who lives in South Norfolk, then moved into employment and skills, spending a decade with the Construction Industry Training Board, working across North Norfolk and King's Lynn. He has since worked in energy and renewables in Norwich, as well as recruitment within the energy sector. Mr. Buckton, who runs a small holding, has previously served as a college governor and as a school careers ambassador. He also teaches youth rugby. He said, "The first duty of the police and crime commissioner is to keep people safe. That means protecting communities, tackling crime robustly, supporting victims and ensuring that those who seek to harm others are dealt with swiftly and effectively. My commitment is to work tirelessly to ensure Norfolk remains a safe, prosperous and confident county for current and future generations." The Norfolk Police and Crime Commissioner election will take place on Thursday, July the 16th. There have been calls for the by-election to be axed, given the role is to be abolished in 2028 as part of the devolution process, which will see the powers passed to a mayor for Norfolk and Suffolk.
A Norfolk Olympian is retiring after a glittering 20-year career in competitive athletics. Sophie McKinna, 31, is pulling down the curtain on her career as a professional shot putter, which culminated in representing Great Britain at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. McKinna, who was born in Galston and lives in Bradwell, also won 6 national titles. In a Facebook post, McKinna said, "After 20 years in competitive athletics, it's time to say goodbye. I've been lucky enough to represent my country with enormous pride multiple times, culminating in achieving a childhood dream of becoming an Olympian. Athletics has given me experiences beyond my wildest dreams, from performing in packed stadiums to travelling all over the world. It's been a privilege." McKinna, whose home club is Great Yarmouth and District Athletics Club, won 3 outdoor national titles in 2019, 2020 and 2021, and 3 indoor titles in 2019, 2022 and 2023. She threw a major championship outdoor personal best of 18.61 metres in qualifying at the 2019 World Championships in Doha, Qatar. She added, "This may be a goodbye from competitive athletics, but this isn't a goodbye from competitive sport. Stay tuned." She announced on Look East during the week that she was interested in taking up rugby.
A church car park will no longer offer unlimited free parking. St Andrew's Church on Church Road in Galston has announced that its car park will no longer be available for those who are not attending activities at the church or chapter house. Instead, parking company Creative Car Parks will operate the facility after installing automatic number plate recognition, ANPR, cameras. This will allow cars 30 minutes in the car park, after which time there will be an automatic parking fine. The new system will begin at midnight on Thursday, July the 2nd. The parochial church council of St Andrews said, "We are sorry this will come as bad news to those who regularly use the car park, and we're grateful to all those who have made the effort to move their cars for Sunday services. However, the purpose of the car park is to enable those who are too frail to walk to church and be able to park. For a number of years, we have had increasing problems with elderly people not wanting to come to midweek evening events due to parking issues or concerned about being able to park when coming to church or for a funeral. Despite this being unwelcome news, we hope you will still come in and enjoy the churchyard and the church, where you're always welcome. Earlier this year, the church, which dates to the Middle Ages, began an appeal to raise £140,000 after investigations revealed sections of its wooden flooring had completely disintegrated. The church remains open for services on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m, Thursdays at 10:30 a.m, and is open in the mornings, Monday to Wednesday, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Several people have been arrested as a major crackdown on criminal behaviour continues in Great Yarmouth Town Centre. Great Yarmouth Police has issued an update on the work they've done since the end of May to combat yobbish behaviour in the town. It comes after the Borough Council launched a major task force at the end of March, which aims to clamp down on antisocial behaviour, nuisance properties and untidy streets. Since May the 22nd, the Town Centre beat manager's work has included locating and arresting a woman 10 minutes after officers were alerted to a theft from a store, seizing 40,000 illicit cigarettes while assisting trading standards, finding and dismantling cannabis factories, conducting patrols on Regent Road and King Street, and speaking with shop owners regarding the sale of alcohol, remanding 5 men for breaching criminal behaviour orders, CBOs, in the town centre, seizing 2 e-scooters in the marketplace, arresting four people on warrants for failing to appear in court. Arresting two men and giving three people community resolutions for shop thefts. Patrolling Market Gates bus station with partner agencies to address ongoing issues. And arresting two people for paying with counterfeit money in shops in the town. A Facebook post from Great Yarmouth Police said, "Please continue to report any issues to us via the website reporting forms 101 or by filling in our neighbourhood policing survey. Your information helps make a difference."
CCTV is to be installed after vandals forced the closure of a Norfolk play park. Ferrier Road Play Park in Great Yarmouth is currently closed after vandals damaged fencing around play equipment and scaffolding around the site. The vandalism comes as structural repair works are taking place on the town wall next to the play area. A Facebook post from Great Yarmouth Borough Council said, "We are sorry to advise the Ferrier Road car park is currently closed until further notice due to ongoing vandalism and safety concerns. Unfortunately, the scaffolding around the site is being regularly compromised with scaffolding boards and here is fencing being moved and thrown around the area. Additional fencing installed around sections of the play equipment has also been repeatedly damaged. We have taken the difficult decision to temporarily close the play area while we assess the situation and implement additional security measures. The council has said additional CCTV is to be installed over the coming weeks and improvements to the play area are planned for later this year."
A new home could be built in a Norfolk village under fresh plans. Plans have been lodged to build a home on land within the grounds of 40 The Hills in Reedham. The proposal, submitted by Lee Midwinter, would see the construction of a home to the east of the current property at the site. It would be two stories in height and result in the demolition of the existing flat roof garage. The applicant intends for it to become their main residence and says it would have a chalet-style appearance to match the home already on site. It would use the existing access point at the site, which would be widened through the removal of a small wall and some shrubs. The applicant says there would be sufficient parking for three cars at the current home and two spaces for the proposed property. Reedham Parish Council has raised no objections to the plans. The plans have received four objections from neighbours living in the area who have cited concerns including loss of privacy and overshadowing.
A man has been charged after a shop in Lowestoft town centre was targeted by a thief. Police were called by business in London Road North at 7:43 p.m. on Monday to reports of theft from a store. A man was arrested at the scene before being taken to Great Yarmouth Police Investigation Centre for questioning. Kyle Whitmore, 30, of no fixed abode but from the Great Yarmouth area, was then charged with theft from a shop. He is bailed to appear at Great Yarmouth Magistrates on July the 8th.
Yarmouth's lifeboat has left the harbour for the final time after 30 years of service. The Salmabita, a Trent-class vessel operated by Great Yarmouth and Galston RNLI, set off from Galston Harbour on Monday to begin its retirement. The lifeboat has been in service since 1996, when it replaced the charity's Waveney-class lifeboat, Barham. The boat was named at the time by Princess Alexandra and earned its Swedish title thanks to Volvo's donations during its construction. Since its maiden voyage, Salmabita has been launched 293 times and saved 24 lives at sea, while providing aid to a further 434 people. In total, she spent 747 hours on service calls. Unfortunately, it has come to the time when we have to say goodbye, Lindsay Wigmore, the lifeboat operations manager in Great Yarmouth and Galston, said. It's very sad. Some of the older crew had tears in their eyes as she left the pier for the final time. Her lifespan was only supposed to be 25 years, so she has done a good stint for us, with just under 300 launches. All in all, a sad day, but we have a new state-of-the-art Shannon-class lifeboat from now on, so we're looking forward to making use of that. David Mason, who was appointed coxswain when the vessel arrived, added, The Trent Samabita, when I first saw her, I thought, wow, what an amazing boat. She served us well and brought us home safely. Sadly, she has to retire and will be missed. Samabita's first launch was on March the 4th, 1996, to assist a Dutch tug with a steering failure. One of her most notable missions was the assistance of the yacht Oline, which was a bronze medal-winning service. It was the first medal-winning service for a Trent-class lifeboat.
The award-winning Britannia Pier has said it will shut down its toilets if they continue to be defaced by vandals. The pier says it will consider legal action against perpetrators after the attacks at its newly upgraded men's bathrooms. Despite a £1.6 million refurbishment and winning Pier of the Year, the facilities are being repeatedly abused, often by people who are not customers. The business has said it may shut the toilets altogether, meaning paying visitors would have to use nearby public facilities on the seafront instead. In a statement, a spokesman for the pier said, Since we reopened, our renovated male toilet facilities have been vandalised, defaced and abused. We provide these facilities for the convenience and use of the Britannia Pier customers only. With the extensive cost to renovate these facilities over the winter months, to see abuse like this is absolutely not acceptable. Anyone seen to be abusing our facilities would be asked to leave immediately and could face legal action. Further abuse will result in us being forced to close these down, and all customers will have to be redirected to the public toilets on the seafront. Please respect the pier, our facilities, and the fact that we are trying to improve all areas for an overall better customer experience. Things like this do not give us much incentive to continue. For the customers that are asking, why have you not upgraded the women's toilets? This is the exact reason why. The continued abuse of the brand new male toilets.
Plans for a huge new warehouse at Great Yarmouth Port have cleared a major planning hurdle. Peel Ports wants to build a multi-user storage shed of around 9,300 square metres, about 1.5 football pitches, on land between South Beach Parade and South Dean's Road, within the operational harbour. The building would handle up to 25,000 tonnes of agricultural bulk materials, including grain, animal feed and fertiliser linked to import and export activity. Peel Ports has not yet submitted a full planning application, but instead was asking Great Yarmouth Borough Council for what is known as an Environmental Impact Assessment, EIA, screening opinion. The council has now issued its opinion, deciding that the project does not require a full EIA. Officers concluded the scheme is not likely to have significant effects on the environment, despite its proximity to sensitive habitats and existing industrial uses. The council's decision says the development can count as permitted development under national planning rules, provided it is carried out in line with the submitted technical documents.
Hemsby's bathing water has been rated excellent as the Norfolk Resort enters the 2026 summer season. The rating, part of the National Bathing Water Monitoring Programme, confirms that water quality at the beach meets the highest standard. The assessment is based on 4 years of testing for bacteria at designated bathing sites. An excellent rating is the top category available. Hemsby has held the excellent rating for 2 consecutive years, having received the same classification in 2024 and again in 2025. The classification applies to the main bathing area used by swimmers, families and water sports enthusiasts. The announcement comes as visitor numbers are expected to rise in the coming weeks, with Hemsby remaining one of Great Yarmouth's busiest coastal destinations. Great Yarmouth Borough Councillor James Bensley said, "The excellent classification reflects consistently high standards of water quality and reinforces Hemsby's reputation as a fantastic place to live, to visit and enjoy the great outdoors. The village of Hemsby is open, and as the summer season gets underway, this latest achievement is something the whole community can be proud of," he added.
Thousands of people enjoyed a seafront festival celebrating cars and motorcycles. The Wheels Festival took place along the Great Yarmouth seafront over last weekend, attracting around 75,000 people to the town. The event, now in its 10th year, featured a wide variety of vehicles, including classic and contemporary cars, bikes, superbikes, and even stunt performances. Each day, the best club, club star, and best in show were recognised by a panel of judges, with Saturday's best club going to the Essex Petrolheads. Nathan Race, chairman of organisers Visit Great Yarmouth, said, "We are really proud of Wheels. It has become a really popular event, not just for our residents and day trippers' calendars, but also for our holidaymakers who book a stay in Great Yarmouth and incorporate the event into it time and time again." Festival goers enjoyed everything from classic and sports cars to quirky creations lining up along the seafront. The winner of the Best in Show on Saturday was Ryan Deering, and Sunday's winner was Dean Brett with his Porsche 356 Speedster.
The town's racecourse announced changes to race times this last week as temperatures continued to soar. Great Yarmouth Racecourse announced its races on Friday would be held at 10:30 a.m. with gates due to open at 9:30 a.m. A total of 7 races were staged, with the last race taking place at 1:30 p.m. The Met Office had forecast temperatures up to 34 degrees in the town during the day, as an amber warning for extreme heat remained in place. In a post online, a spokesman for the racecourse said, "Due to forecasted high temperatures later in the day, race times have been brought forward to support the welfare of horses, jockeys, stable staff, racecourse teams and racegoers." The changes came after a Met Office amber warning was extended until 9 p.m. on Saturday. A rare red heat health alert, meaning there is a risk to life even for healthy individuals, is also in place this week.
Welcome to Grapevine Extra. This week, Margaret has the rundown on Vision Norfolk's July events, and Desney tries to make sense of the uncertainty created to the TV schedules by both football and tennis.
It's that time of the month again, where we have the rundown of the coming month's events at Vision Norfolk. As usual, the month starts with the Great Yarmouth Coffee Morning on Wednesday the 1st, between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. Other Yarmouth caffeine fixes held on Wednesday at the same times are on the 8th, 15th, 22nd and 29th. Caister's Coffee Mornings are on Tuesday the 7th and the 21st, with Ormsby's monthly session on Thursday the 2nd, with all events between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. The Thursday cribbage group meetings for July are on the 2nd, the 9th, the 16th, the 23rd and the 30th, all from 10 a.m. to 12. On to the Thursday pub clubs, with the first on the 2nd and another on the 16th. These are from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Weaving gets underway on Friday the 3rd from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, with the same times for more on the 10th, the 17th, the 24th and the 31st. Fishy Friday for July is on the 3rd from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. The rest of the individual events for the month are: Wednesday the 1st is yoga between 12:30 and 1:30. Quiz and cake is on Monday the 6th, and that's 11 till 1 p.m. Hub games at the new time of 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. are on Monday the 6th. The Braille group is from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Thursday the 9th, with knit, stitch and natter on the same day and times. Friday the 10th is creative writing, and indeed the tennis group, both from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. On Monday the 13th, there is a heritage walk featuring rose and red herrings from 2 p.m. to 3:30. And please book for this by phoning the hub. Bowling for July is at 12:30 until 1:30 on Tuesday the 14th. On Wednesday the 15th, it's seated yoga for an hour between 12:30 and 1:30. To the 20th now, and that's burger and bingo from 11 till 1 p.m. The Braille group will meet for July on Thursday the 23rd from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Now, leaping forward to Monday the 27th, that sees the archery group calling the shots from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Followed on Tuesday the 28th with tea and tech from 10 until 12. And a Gorston seafront walk from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. It's breakfast club on Wednesday the 29th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And on Friday the 31st, it's the audio book club from 1:30 until 3 p.m. Now, if you'd like more information on any of the activities, you can contact Vision Norfolk. That's 01493 745 973. I'll just say that again, 01493 745 973. Or you can email Catherine, that's with a C, catherine.bond at visionnorfolk, all one word, .org.uk. And I'll just repeat that again. It's catherine.bond at visionnorfolk.org.uk. UK. And good luck to everybody with all those activities. You are busy.
Now it's time for the television spot. You may have noticed that this is not the time of year when any of the major terrestrial channels are going to put on any kind of new and shiny programme or the return of a popular series. And why is that? It's because the summer of sport is here. It's the middle of the World Cup, Football World Cup in America, and we're coming to the end of the opening round. and the knockout stages start on Sunday the 28th. And then the very next day is the first day of the annual Wimbledon Tennis Fortnight. So it's going to be 2 weeks of wall-to-wall football and tennis. If you're a fan of both, you'll be fine from 10:30 in the morning, probably sometimes until very early the next morning, because some of the football matches, because it's taking place in America, start when it's only 2 a.m. over here. Your only problem will be, which match will you want to miss out on? Oh, and if you follow Formula One, it's the Austrian Grand Prix as well this weekend, which you can catch on Sky Sports or Radio 5 Live. And the main race starts at 2 p.m. on Sunday. If you aren't a sports fan, don't worry, you'll still be able to watch some of your regular shows, but they may have a time change because of kick-off times and because of matches overrunning in the tennis. On Saturday, you can see most of the BBC programmes you would expect to see on a Saturday evening, and no football until 12:05 a.m. on the BBC. So from 5:20, you've got several quiz shows such as Celebrity Bridge of Lies with Ross Kemp, and 6:05 Bradley Walsh has got brings you Blankety Blank, and at 6:40 Alexander Armstrong and Richard Osman bring you a repeat of Pointless Celebrities, and there's a repeat of The Weakest Link with Romesh Ranganathan at 7:25, followed by Casualty at 8:10. And if you're going to have a normal-looking television programme, well, you're going to have to wait, because when we get to Monday to Friday, you will find that not even BBC and ITV know what they'll be showing, because they don't know which one of them will be showing the football. Partly because these matches aren't all finished, and so it depends on the results of these matches who plays who in the next round. So you're going to have to be a bit patient. And if you don't want to watch sport wall to wall, you're going to have to go for Channel 4 and Channel 5. Because this is going to be the pattern for the whole week. If you look in any of the television magazines, they will also, if football is on this channel, the programmes will be blah, blah, blah. And if there is no football on this channel, the programmes will be blah, blah, blah. So, if you're not sporty, just forget the BBC and ITV for the week. Here are some programmes that you might find interesting on Channel 4 or Channel 5. On Monday at 8 p.m. on Channel 4 is a series called Dover 24/7, Britain's Busiest Port, with police officers chasing a man spotted jumping out of a lorry, while Border Force bust a cigarette smuggling operation, and port crews have the tricky task of docking an unwieldy Spanish galleon. And then at 9 p.m, there's 24 Hours in A&E. When Philip is one of the patients, he's fallen 12 feet from a ladder. Liam, I don't know what he's done to himself. He's fallen off the back of a motorbike travelling at 100 miles per hour for some reason. And a small child called Jonah has injured his elbow while playing. Channel 5, they'd have something new because they've got no football. They have a new four-part drama going from Monday to Thursday, 9 p.m. every night that week, when newlywed Sean fails to return from a surfing expedition one morning. Police conclude that he's fallen foul of the riptide and drowned. But did something more sinister happen? There are four nights for you to work it out. On Wednesday on Channel 4, there's another episode of Location, 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 going back to the old favourites, with Kirsty Allsop and Phil Spencer, who are concerned with looking at how a man who has moved from Birmingham to Leeds has made a big impression on his dream pad. Well, there, I hope there's something that you like to watch. If you're a sports addict, you'll be well away. But if not, well, give it a couple of weeks and at least the football will be over. Margaret's cheering over the other side of the studio.
Well, that's it for this week. Grapevine is copyright 2026 of the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association. News content is adapted mainly from the Great Yarmouth Mercury. However, the Great Yarmouth and District Talking Newspaper Association accept responsibility for editorial decisions made for this recording. Next week, your newsreaders will be Dusty, Margaret H, and Julie. So, we hope you'll join us then for much more of your local news. But, in the meantime, here's hoping that you stay safe, well, and cool. And from all your friends at Grapevine, enjoy your week, and it's bye for now.